Good morning. Welcome to the morning show with news and information from the center. I'm Ron Fruit. The wait is almost over. It is time for Rotary Lights in the Park. Dottie Bailing is in the studio with us. Dottie is the chair of the Rotary Lights in the Park project for the Richland County Rotary Club. Dottie, to you, your fellow Rotarians, and the many volunteers and sponsors, best wishes for an awesome season.
Well, thank you very much. That's one of the things when we're out there and we're ready to throw the switch and it's like, okay, is everything going to light or are we going to be missing half of it? Or we never really know for sure. We always do a run through naturally, but we just like to make sure before we actually open it up to people.
I think that kids of all ages, you know, the old line from 1 to 92, enjoy Rotary Lights in the Park. There's a joy that they bring.
I think that that's very true. And this year, I think people are going to be surprised at one of the new things that we have. And I'm not going to spoil it by telling you what it is. You're just going to have to come out and see for yourself. But this year, we have more displays than we ever have. And we have more sponsors than we ever have. And it's just going to be a great program.
You have done Rotary Lights in the Park for a number of years, and there are Rotary clubs around our area that do light displays. Is that kind of a pet project for Rotary in general, or does it just so happen that in this geographic region, Rotary clubs have chosen to treat their communities with light displays?
Well, I can't honestly say that it's something that Rotary is known for as far as international or even nationally, but I do know that there are plenty of Rotarians around the area that enjoy Christmas, they enjoy doing the lights, and they enjoy the service above self, which is one of our mottos, that if you look at some little kids when they come through and see the smiles on their faces, why, it's just amazing, and makes the work worth it.
Service above self is really illustrated in a variety of ways in Rotary Lights in the Park, from giving us a great display to helping the food pantry.
Right. We try and do things so that other people will be happy, try and make sure that the food pantry is taken care of. And now this year, with inflation, the food pantry definitely needs help. And the admission to the park is free. We don't charge anything to come and see the lights. We would appreciate people bringing a food item. I mean, just one item can make a big difference for the food pantry, or just make a cash donation, either one. And the food pantry, I know, appreciates it, and we appreciate the people that come through.
Well, are you going to be ready at 6 o'clock tonight to throw the switch, Dottie?
Well, I am hoping that we're going to be ready. As of last night, I think there were 7 trees, sponsor trees, that had yet to be decorated. But I think that they were actually kind of smart because I waited until the weather warmed up rather than doing it over the weekend. But all in all, I think we're pretty well prepared. As long as we don't have squirrels chewing on our lights, you know, that's one of the things that, one reason why we try and do a run-through first before we actually throw the lights for everybody. Those little squirrels love our lights.
Well, I sure salute you for your commitment to safety. And I think a lot of the things that you've learned and done and implemented in recent years have been wonderful steps in that direction. Maybe we can just kind of run through what an evening is like at Rotary Lights in the Park, beginning with walkthroughs, because the schedule tonight is going to be very similar to what it will be the entire rest of the season, won't
it? The lights are going to open at 6 o'clock, and that will be for walkers only. And walkers are from 6 to about 6:50. And we try and make sure all the walkers are out of the park before we have any cars come through. But this year it's going to be the same as it was last year. We're asking the walkers to park in the North Park and then walk across the lit bridge and come through that way so we don't have the traffic jams like we've had in the past. And we're finding that it's much safer for the children And talking about children, we moved our Santa house. So the Santa house is closer to the walk-through bridge. And they don't have to be walking between cars or anything. So Mr. and Mrs. Claus should be happy about that, I think.
You also, though, closed Jefferson Street. I mean, not only not letting cars in, you actually keep them a safe distance away until you know all the walkers are out, don't you?
We try to do that. We have Jefferson Street. Last year, I know that we were backed up quite a ways. But if you're planning on walking, why don't come up Jefferson Street? Because you're going to be in line for the people that want to drive through. So if you do walk, but then go over to the North Park and park there, walk across the bridge, like I said, and you'll be able to say hi to Mr. and Mrs. Claus on Friday and Saturday nights. And I think that hopefully that will be a lot safer.
The North Park situation, I think, just worked out so well. We walked one of the nights last year, and there were families with strollers. You know, you had to be careful in North Park, you know, where you're parking. But, boy, then you had the string of lights that led us right to the opening. You carried your food over if you brought that with you. It just worked out incredibly well.
We heard some good comments about that, especially about the people that had the smaller kids that, well, you know how kids are. They can just all of a sudden see something and dash off.
Especially at Rotary Lights because there's so much to see.
And so we heard from a number of people that they really appreciated having to park over there and then walk across the bridge with, you know, the bridge being lit like it was, like, kind of added to the festivities.
It really did. It was like a magical trail that led to the Rotary Lights in the park.
Right.
But the other thing you need to remember is it's level the entire way. So it's not a difficult walk from the North Park parking lot across the bridge to Rotary Lights.
Right. One of the things, though, that I would caution people is that people that are needing walkers, that trail is gravel. So some people have a hard time if they have to use a walker, because I don't know for experience myself, but I would assume that walking on that gravel would be difficult with the walker.
And then at 6, and you say till 6:50, so really if we're wise, it'd be really good to come between 6 and 6:30 to begin our walkthrough so that we are done and have enough time to walk through without feeling like we're in a race.
Well, it's kind of interesting because we have people that, and it's kind of comical in a way, because we have people that can stay in there for an hour and a half if we would let them. You know, that's why we had to set a time that they had to be out in order to let the cars come through. And we usually have cars that are starting to line up like at 6:30, you know, so we try and make sure that we try and keep everybody happy. Try.
That's all you can do.
Right.
Walking through, you do get a chance to see things that you can't see from your car. There are some rewards for taking that walk through Rotary Lights in the park.
Right. And one of the things that people comment on is that, well, we can't see the ornaments very well from our car. And it's like, yes, that's true. You see the lights and see the reflections, you know, that type of thing. But one of the things that people can do if they are interested is to come to the park anytime during the day. If they want to look at trees, look at the ornaments, they're more than welcome to come down and walk through during the day.
Well, and you think about the story walk that the Brewer Library has, you know, for families with children, a daytime walk would be a wonderful opportunity.
That would be great, yes. Yeah.
And I know others who've done that because they want to be able to read the ornaments. And, you know, one of the tree of remembrance that the Richland Hospital, the infant loss tree, I mean, you could spend a lot of time there just looking and reflecting.
That's one of the things with our memorial trees. We're so fortunate that we, in a way, we're fortunate, and yet in a way we're not. We're fortunate that we have so many people that want to honor and remember their loved ones. And unfortunately, we have the loved ones have passed away. But it's a nice way of remembering them. And some of the decorations on those trees is just great.
They are. Well, certainly this year, we termed it good news and bad news that, you know, you had tremendous sponsor support, but you had every tree sponsored. I mean, it's the best of all worlds, but not for the person who got in a late application.
Right. Unfortunately, this was the first year that we had to turn people away. And the applications came in basically too late. And we basically just ran out of room. And one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is if you have a tree that comes in late, well, then all of the electrical has to be reconfigured in order to figure out where that tree is going to be set up and lit, plugged in. But we had so much support, it's just really gratifying.
It really helps you as a display and a Rotary Club to be able to look to the future to have that kind of support, doesn't it?
Yes. If we didn't have the type of support that we have, there's no way that we would be able to do this. We have not only support from the sponsors, but we have support from individuals and people that are willing to come out and work for the 3.5 hours or so that it takes welcoming people to Rotary Lights and taking food that they may have brought, that type of thing. And in that regard, we're still looking for 4 groups to finish filling out the year.
How big does a group have to be the welcoming crew at Rotary Lights in the Park, Dottie?
Generally, we appreciate having 4 to 5 people. And one of the reasons for that is because we have now with the walkthrough in the other parking lot, we need a person down on Jefferson Street to make sure that the people sitting in line aren't sitting there thinking they're going to be able to walk across. So we need somebody to direct that car out of there and over to North Park. But we talk to people, we take their food, and just in general welcome them. And it works out, I think it works out very well.
You often ask for zip codes, don't you?
We have in the past. Last year we did not do that. And it was rather interesting because we have found people from so far away. And it's one of those things that, like tonight, there'll be people that are probably visiting from, who knows, California or wherever. And you get those zip codes and you have to kind of smile to yourself because you know that they didn't come just for Rotary Lights.
Dottie Bayling is with us on the morning show today. Dottie is the chair of the Rotary Lights in the Park Project, a project of the Rotary Club of Richland County. The walkthroughs then end at 6:50. Then
yes.
Once everyone is out, then you begin the drive-throughs, correct?
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, keeping, you know, there are a few rules you like there about our lights, our speed, you know, being extraordinarily careful when we enter and when we exit.
Right. One of the things that we do ask is to basically turn your lights off. After you get in, you'll see so much better if you don't have your lights shining on the trees and things. And in all honesty, some people don't know how to turn their lights off. I don't know how to turn mine off on my car. And so it's kind of interesting. But if you can turn your lights off, well, things look much better. And if you go through, like if you would go through tonight and then it would snow, you should go through again. Because after it snows, it just turns it into, well, I call it a fairy wonderland. And it just makes such a difference. You really wouldn't think that it would, but it really does. And we end up trying to close the park at 9 o'clock. And basically for our volunteers, because we don't want them having to stay there until 10 o'clock, you know, making sure that people are gone. But yet we want people to be safe. We want people to enjoy it.
I think about driving through, people might see areas and think, well, they could have put another tree there, but you maintain service lanes that utility trucks or lifts or something else would have to get through. There really is a lot of thought that's gone into the design, not only of the layout, but then the serviceability of the project once it opens, isn't there?
Right, and that's one of the things that when you walk through or drive through, people will say, oh, they could have put a tree here. Well, that could happen, but chances are that's the utility lane, like you said. Or I know that there's some I don't know what you want to call it. The bank is quite close in some of those areas, so you don't want people trying to decorate a tree and then falling down the bank either. So, but we try and do our best.
Now, if you have a convertible tonight and temperatures are in the 30s, you can just open the top and be amazed, can't you?
Well, if you have a convertible and you're going to do that, I'd like a ride.
I know you did have a motorcycle go through. I think that was last year or the year before.
Right, right.
You know, which was kind of cool. It was a pleasant night. Your goal, though, you have the same hours every single night, starting tonight through New Year's Eve, don't you?
Yes, yes. The only time that we really change is when we actually close down. And if we're going to do that, why, WRCO has been kind enough that we can call in and say, okay, the lights are not going to open tonight, and you announce it. And that usually will not happen before 3 o'clock in the afternoon, simply because we want to make sure that we can stay open. If we can't, we can't. But between the really cold weather, we closed down, I think, one day last year because it was really cold. And if you're a volunteer, you don't want to be sitting out there freezing. Even though we do have a warming house. So if you get too cold, well, you can hop into the warming house for a little while.
But when wind chills are as they were last year when you closed, that's not safe either. We talked about your commitment to safety. But then also you can get some very warm weather with rain, which has caused you troubles in the past too.
Well, that one year that it rained, why, basically about half the show was gone. Which was unfortunate because we have so many people in the community that really help set up all of that. And, well, there's over 100 items that need to be set up. And it's amazing, you know, when everything is done. And like I mentioned, I was thinking about the first year that we did this compared to now. And I never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that it would be as big as it is. I just didn't. I had, I've talked to a gal and she goes to Madison and she said, well, your show was much better than Madison's. And it's like, oh, that's nice. You know, just, it's kind of those little comments that people really like the show that make it worth doing it. Make it worth all the effort.
I think many people remember going to town, you know, and driving through the town, just looking at Christmas displays. Rotary Lights in the Park has really elevated that opportunity in our community, Dottie.
Well, it is rather interesting because we seem to have, we have Rotary Lights now, but we also have all of these homes that seem to be more willing to decorate than what they used to, well, 10 years ago. This is the 11th year for Rotary Lights. And back the first year when Keith and I were working on this, I was kind of like, okay, we certainly didn't think it was going to get to be as big as it is now, but we enjoy it. It is fun. It's a lot of work, but it is fun.
But I think in some ways, even though the display is much larger today, you're better prepared and understand how to handle it and manage it than you did that first year when it was a modest, humble display, Dottie. You've learned a lot.
We have learned a lot, and I'm sure that we're going to be learning more. You know, have to keep
continuing education, as it were. Yes.
Have to keep an open mind, but it's just amazing, and the turnout that we've had for people that have been willing to help, not only help when we're putting things together out at the park, but then helping at night when people are starting to drive through, and we do need 4 more groups, the 17th and the 29th, 30th, and 31st, I think the dates are that are open right now, that we do
all
need,
in December?
Yes, all in December. Mm-hmm. And so we do need help there. And they can go on our Rotary Lights page to sign up under, what is it?
Sign Up Genius, I think.
Thank you.
There's a link there, yes.
I knew there was genius in there somewhere. I just wasn't smart enough to think about it. But so that would be great if they can do that, if people would be willing to do that. But otherwise, if you have anything that you really are interested in as far as helping with something, well, give us a call.
Well, we hope that Mother Nature doesn't deal you a bad time with strong winds, but that is also one of the challenges, isn't it?
Last year, after that 40-mile-an-hour wind that went through and really did some damage in La Crosse to their rotary lights, we went out to the park and just went up over that little knoll. And Keith
held your
said,
breath?
Keith said, it looks like an Easter egg hunt out here. There were ornaments scattered all over the park. And we started picking them up, trying to put them by the trees that they should go by. And it was like, forget it, because this ornament came from that tree over there or whatever. And so we picked them up, but didn't get put back on their trees.
Oh, it doesn't take too long to drive through, but typically you drive fairly slow, and you know your goal. You kind of have to watch both sides and above you. I mean, it's a show that's really 360 degrees, isn't it?
Right. I have some friends of mine, and they go through maybe 4 or 5 times a year, and see something different all the time. Last year, I don't remember the name of the person, but somebody said, oh, I really like your train. That train had been there, I think last year was like the 4th or 5th year. So there are things that you can easily miss if you go just once. So I would encourage people to go more than once.
When the gazebo was added in honor of veterans, it really gave you an opportunity to change your scheme again, didn't it?
Right. That has been decorated again, and I think it really looks nice.
The other thing is, you've tried to maintain a patriotic theme, a tribute to veterans, haven't you?
Right. On the when you come into the park, on the right-hand side, you will find a flag. And it is, oh, I'm sorry, but I don't remember the dimensions. Anyway, it's big. And then we have the symbols for the different services. There's 6 different services. We have the symbols for that. And there are a number of other things there that... It's on the right-hand side when you, as you're driving in, before you could actually get into the lights.
And we see them when we're coming out, too, real clearly,
yes,
don't we?
Yes, it would be basically almost right in front of you.
Mr. and Mrs. Claus, you've alluded to them that they will have special times. You know, if families want to see Mr. and Mrs. Claus, should they look at a calendar, or are there certain times and dates, Dottie?
Fridays and Saturdays, and the 23rd of December is the last day that they will be there. And they will be there for walkthrough.
Okay.
So when the kids come across the bridge after Mom and Dad park in the parking lot over there, well, then they can see Santa right away, or they can go through the lights and then come back and talk to Santa on their way out.
So will that start this Friday and Saturday too?
Yes.
It will. Well, good. So then if people do want to be able to see Santa Claus for their children or grandchildren, then walkthrough is a necessary choice then, is that right?
It's the best. But if you don't want to walk through, still park at North Park and come to the Santa house. And then after you're done seeing Santa, you can go back to your car and then you can drive through the park.
How long will Santa be and Mrs. Claus in the house on the Fridays and Saturdays then?
Well, that's an interesting question because Santa seems to have basically his own timeline. And they, both Santa and Mrs. Claus, seem to really enjoy being out there, talking to people, that type of thing. But 6 to 7 is when they're really scheduled.
So if we really want to see Santa and Mrs. Claus, that's the best time
right,
to be able
right.
to go then.
Yes.
For the Richland Community Food Pantry, regularly you take items then to the pantry or have volunteers that help you, don't you?
We have a volunteer, Rudy Draper. He comes every night.
He's done that for quite a while, hasn't he?
He has. And bless his heart, it just is something that I guess I can't really explain it, but to me it is such a big help. We don't have to worry about it. We know that Rudy's going to be there, and just on that note, I guess that I really thank him, really tell him thank you for doing that.
When we hear the pantry's pleas for food, those are the kinds of things that we can bring and be appreciated. Non-perishable, non-breakable, you know, those types of things really make a difference, don't
right.
they?
Right. One of the things that they will not accept is anything that's been expired. If it has an expiration date that's past due, The pantry can accept those. And that's something that we don't monitor that. So people themselves hopefully would monitor that. But we just really hope that people help the pantry out.
But you could make a non-perishable food donation and you could contribute to the Rotary Lights through the free will offering, couldn't you?
Yes, you can do both.
And I know many people do.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
We appreciate that because, well, like I mentioned to you earlier, I don't know how many people really realize how expensive some of those displays can be. And with Rotary Lights, boy, it's just great to be able to have more every year. And this year we've got one that I think is going to surprise a lot of people. And like I said, I'm not telling you.
I don't think we're going to get it out of you. I think we're going to have to go. Dottie Bayling is with us on the morning show. She is the chair of the Rotary Lights Project for the Rotary Club of Richland County. Where do you see the future going? Obviously, this project is service above self. But as you've said, when I go through, I think this is pretty. This is a lot of work. A lot of work, Dottie.
Well, one of the things that in looking at Rotary Lights, it's something that the entire community seems to enjoy. And we do have people that will come in and help set up. And that the setup starts, you know, the end of October, the first part of November. But as far as where it's going to be going, hopefully it's going to be staying not the same, but getting bigger and better with people's help.
There'll be no chance that the food pantry won't need contributions. There's no chance that making memories at Christmas time and spending time with your family won't be important. I mean, in many ways, Rotary Lights has become a component to the holiday season that's appreciated by so many people.
That's one of the things that's rather interesting because people, the park ended up cutting down some trees this past year due to disease. And we were like, oh, they're not going to be Rotary Lights. And we heard that from a number of people. And it's like, no, there's going to be Rotary Lights. We'll just use some different trees and fill in differently. But there's going to be Rotary Lights.
Speaking of that, the city, city utilities, you've had so many valuable, valuable partners, haven't you?
Oh, we have a lot of people that are really willing and able to help. And like the utilities, they come in and they help. And there are just, the city itself helps. And you just can't imagine how many people that actually do come out and help. And it's one of those things that, like I mentioned, without all the help and like with the utilities and the different various things, we wouldn't be able to put on a show.
I think the statement that best defines that, Dottie, is this, that if you look at all the sponsors and everyone that's involved and you remove the component of service above self, Crosscut Park would be dark tonight.
I think that's very true. I think if we did not, well, I'm quite sure, if we did not have all of the cooperation that we get from all the different utilities and all the different city government types of things and all the different folks that are willing to volunteer.
Your sponsors.
The sponsors and anybody that is interested in Rotary Lights, why, it would be dark. You're right.
And to the other scale, the end of that scale, is that when you go through the lights, appreciate the lights, and appreciate the service above self that makes it possible.
One of the things, Ron, that I would like to say, and I would ask of people, is to tell people thank you. Because there are so many people that help, so many people that really work hard at trying to get this whole production up so people can enjoy it. And when you go through the lights, just say thanks.
Yeah, that's
that goes
advice.
A long ways.
We know about the ugly sweater run and some of the other things that go on. Is that going to be a part of
the ugly sweater run is the first Saturday, I believe it is, in December.
So it's coming up then.
It is coming up.
But again, that was just another way to be able to harness a great opportunity with Rotary Lights.
Right.
Well, good luck for a great season, a safe season. Hopefully Mother Nature provides cooperation, but winter is what winter is. So.
That's right. That's one of the things we're not planning at the present time to build a dome over the park. We just haven't gotten the plans figured out for
that's
that yet.
That's what it is, yeah. Well, Keith and Richard, in your spare time, get that done.
Right.
Is there anything that you'd like to say? I mean, it's got to be rewarding for you when there's a line for walkthroughs and a line for drive-throughs.
One of the things that I would like to say is that please be patient. Because I know last year, I think it was, where there were people that were driving through that were going maybe 3 miles an hour or whatever it was, and people behind them were getting really kind of disgusted, would be a word, I guess. But people can drive through the rate they want to drive through. And if there are people behind them kind of shoving them along, ignore them. You take your time. You do what you want to do. You know, as far as looking at things, and don't worry about other people.
And come back the next night, or come back the same night, or come back, as you said, one of your friends, several nights, because it does change as weather changes and snow and so forth. It really makes a good time.
Right.
So.
Well, we have had people that have come out the one entry and, or the exit rather, and just turn and want to go into the entry again. Well, there's a line usually, so they can't do that.
That's where that line monitor helps, isn't it? So if people would like to volunteer, you need a few more nights and even somebody in waiting that maybe could fill in if a group couldn't. It'd be kind of nice to have that opportunity too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they can give me a call.
Sounds good.
Or it's on Sign Up Genius.
Mm-hmm. Yep, at the just search for Rotary Lights in the Park, Richland Center, and you'll find it online and be all set. Good to see you. Best wishes. Thank you to what you and the Rotary Club have brought to our community.
Oh, well, thank you. It really is
a fantastic display.
We enjoy it.
Yeah, it shows. It shows. Dottie Bailing has been our guest today. Our thanks to the Rotary Club and Dottie in particular for her leadership in providing Rotary Lights in the Park for our community.